Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
The Boilermakers moved to 2-0 on the season following a closer-than-desired 31-24 victory over Illinois on Saturday. We'll break that down. Plus, we'll talk a little bit more of Trey Kaufman's commitment to Purdue. We'll do that on Gold and Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhardt here. We'll hit up Brian Newbert in just a couple of minutes. Tom, I think that's a good way to describe it, right? A little closer than desired on Saturday. I'm not sure it needed to be the way it was there in the last couple of minutes. And we can get into some coaching decisions that made it so, perhaps. But let's look at the positive first. The positive is that Purdue is 2-0. It got the victory. It made some plays at the end to do so, including by a wide receiver who's turning out to be really, really good rather than just the really good, which we thought before, and David Bell. Purdue got the win.
Yeah, boy. David Bell is a great place to start, Kyle. What's he going to do next? How's he going to top what he just did the week before? You know, on and on it goes. We get our jaw dropped on a weekly basis with an amazing play. And he saved Purdue's bacon Saturday, buddy, with that third down catch to extend the drive, get the first down, and kill the clock. So kudos to Mr. Bell, number three. And, yeah, too close for comfort, too, Kyle, 31-24, of course, after Purdue scored that defensive touchdown, the Marvin Grant, Jalen Graham combo there. I mean, 31-10 late in the third quarter, like a lot of people, I thought, game over. But, again, as you know, Illinois climbed back into that thing and needed that late play by Bell to seal it. So a win is a win, my friend, in this day and age. And Purdue's got to be happy to be 2-0 and hopefully with a chance to play this weekend at Wisconsin.
Yeah, you look at it more from a glass half full or glass half empty perspective.
I think you got to say half full. I know Illinois had its four-string quarterback playing, a guy who had never thrown a pass in a college game. Some other key players were out for Illinois because of the virus, too. Their kicker and their starting center were a couple other key players. Again, Kyle, some of these guys were for COVID, some were for contact tracing. Nonetheless, Illinois was down some key personnel. But, again, I'm not going to take anything away from Purdue's ability to get that win. We all know it's still a work in progress, especially defensively. We saw some of that bleeding Saturday, some big running lanes for the Illini quarterback and others. But, again, let's just say glass half full and you're coming off a 4-8 season where you had your own load of adversity to deal with in 2019 with all those injuries.
I think it's very rare that in football in particular, you can pick out a one guy who, if you took him away from the team, the record would be significantly different. If you took David Bell away from Purdue, Purdue would be 0-2, right? I mean, there's no chance that Purdue would have won both of these games. I think that you don't see that, especially outside of the quarterback position.
Yeah.
You don't say that very often. I think that's maybe the biggest compliment you can give to David Bell. And, you know, we all on Twitter, I think, during games try to come up with the right adjectives, and we really can't hit them other than just saying, you know, David Bell, that's the tweet. You know, but I think the biggest compliment is if you took him off the team or he didn't play the last 2 weeks, Purdue would be 0-2.
Yeah, I don't think that's an overstatement, buddy. I think you're exactly right. And in a sport that involves so many people, the ultimate team sport, 11 guys working in unison, and to think one guy, as you're illustrating, one guy can make that much of a difference in a win or a loss. But I think that's certainly the case with David Bell. Now, there's been some other key players for the Purdue offense, obviously, right? I mean, Aiden O'Connell continues to develop. You know, maybe he threw some passes into traffic that opening game against Iowa, had some picks. But, again, I thought he played a pretty smooth game against a bad Illinois defense Saturday. But I'm not going to, you know, discredit anything O'Connell did. Again, he got off to a great start, Kyle. I think he hit like 13 of his first 14 passes. Hit that big one to Bell late to get the first down we talked about. Shows some moxie back there. How about Xander Horvath, buddy? You probably saw on Twitter where, you know, he's got 3 100-yard rushing games in a row. The last Boilermaker to have more consecutive 100-yard rushing games, you got to go back to 1995, Mike Allstott in his senior year. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty hard to believe, but Horvath has definitely been good. You'd like to see Purdue maybe have a second running back. Perhaps that's King Doru as soon as he comes back from that hamstring injury. Maybe it'll be this week. Maybe Purdue won't play this week. It'll give everybody a chance to rest up going into the next game, which, to tell you the truth, I'm not even sure how that is. Is that Northwestern then coming up after Wisconsin? So explain this to me. Explain this to me, Tom. Purdue is trailing against Iowa late. Brian Brohm sticks with the run, is patient, sticks with the game plan. Purdue comes back and wins. The Boilermakers are leading by 21 in the fourth quarter against Illinois, and Jeff Brohm completely abandons the running game, starts tossing the ball all over the field when it's trying to milk the clock. Explain those two philosophies to me.
You know, again, maybe it's as simple as the personality differences we've talked about between those two guys, Kyle. You know, last week, Jeff said as much that Brian's personality is about a 180 from his, much more patient, you know, not quite as volatile on the sidelines. And maybe that's reflected in that patience to stick with the ground game. But maybe you could maybe push the panic button and want to throw it all over the field. I'm not sure, but you raise good points. I guess at this point, you know, Jeff Brohm probably is who he is. I'm sure, you know, Brian's still in his ear on game days, Kyle, through the headset. So, you know, they're brother and brother. I'm sure Jeff heeds what Brian says. But in the end, Jeff's the guy who probably makes the ultimate call on plays. But, you know, it's always an interesting conundrum and fun to analyze all those plays calls in those situations in ball games.
Yeah, it's fun to analyze from sitting on my couch. I know it's probably a little bit more difficult when you're right there in the midst of it. But, man, it did not make a whole lot of sense to me. One thing that did make some sense was Purdue's defense. Again, you know, I think, you know, although, like what you said, gave up some running yards, I was sort of curious how much Purdue prepared for a quarterback who couldn't throw or didn't throw that much and was just going to have to try to run the ball. I would guess that it didn't prepare a whole lot for that style going into this game, as, you know, Illinois was down to its three and then pretty quickly got down to its number four quarterback. But the thing that Purdue's defense again did well, and we've seen it now in back-to-back weeks, is it created turnovers. And, you know, Jalen Graham was right there, it seemed like, in the mix for all of them, including the two fumble recoveries, one of them for a touchdown. But the greater point being that Purdue has been in the right spots, it seems, to help create turnovers, and it's done so now in back-to-back games.
Yeah, that was something that had to improve this year. The Boilermakers had a negative turnover margin each of the last two seasons. We all know pretty basic football, right? You win the turnover battle, you typically have a good chance to win the games. And lo and behold, Purdue was even against Iowa 2-2, won that game, and sadly they had a 4-2 edge in the turnover margin battle and got a defensive TD too, my friend. And how big is that? And, yeah, you know, the pick by Derek Barnes, pick by Cam Allen, fumbles caused, you know what, like, that's just key. You cannot overstate the importance of getting those turnovers. Really covered up some of the issues the Purdue defense had, giving up those yards. Kyle, you talked about Purdue really having no idea they were going to be facing this Coran Taylor, more of a running quarterback. Yeah, he made mistakes, as you would suspect, which helped Purdue. But some ways, don't you think maybe they'd have been better off playing a more statuesque guy like Brandon Peters, who I know can run a little bit, but he had but again, you have to always adjust in life, don't you? You have to be able to adapt to what's happening in front of you. Purdue made enough changes defensively and to stop the bleeding to a degree. But again, most importantly, Kyle, you got those turnovers and that big defensive TD.
Graham just needs to work on his post-interception blocking. Had two blocking penalties post-interception, which was pretty funny considering they both came from him. But, man, he was always near the ball and came up with that big defensive touchdown that proved, as it turned out, to be the final winning margin. You'll talk to Jeff Brohm here in a little less than an hour as we record this podcast, and I would imagine that you'll find out several things. Maybe you'll know more about whether there will actually be a game this week, although I sort of think that will come on Tuesday. Any chance you think you'll learn more about George Karloftis, Rondell Moore, King Doru, some of those injury situations that Purdue has headed into this week?
Yeah, remember, too, the offensive line's been taking a couple hits, too, Kyle. We lost Cam Quick in the opener, the left guard, and, of course, Sam Garvin went down about the fourth play of the game Saturday. Somebody rolled up on, I think it was his left ankle. So we'll certainly ask Coach Brohm. He's been a little bit more coy about discussing injuries in depth and then subsequent player availability. He didn't offer any real illumination on Carl Office after the game Saturday, of course. Understandable, they have to have further examinations, but we all saw George on the sidelines still in uniform late in the game, which was a good sign, I think. So we'll find out, buddy. Yeah. We certainly know they need number five on defense, and a lot of questions hanging over this week as we hopefully trudge towards Saturday in a game in Madison.
Any idea, any feel which way that will go?
I just think, again, given how cautious the Big Ten has been through this whole coronavirus pandemic, you know, Wisconsin's supposed to pause on Wednesday, Kyle. That'd give you just a handful of days to be on the field to get ready to play the Boilermakers on Saturday. Doesn't seem like an ideal situation to put student-athletes in, to ask them to play a football game with scant few days to really prepare on the field. So if I were to really be forced to make a prediction, I guess I'll say this, I'll be surprised if that game takes place.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the decision is, and we're expected to hear more on that sometime on Tuesday. We do this every week. The MVP of the weekend, I mean, look, it's difficult to get away from David Bell, right? I mean, he was really good and made. I mean, even in the last catch is obviously the one that seals it, but, I mean, the touchdown grab where he just sort of comes back to the ball and just snatches it out of the air. I mean, I don't know, man. He's really good. And as I've said before, I think I've said he makes those 50-50 balls, 80-20 balls. I think maybe it's closer to 90-10. I mean, it's just it's pretty unbelievable. And he was great.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. You know, he had a catch going into their north end zone where he actually drew a pass interference flag and still made the catch near the goal line.
Yeah.
I remember that as well. So I think he had 9 catches. He had 9 targets. Of course, he had 21 targets the first game. Illinois is doing all it can to try to stop him. They're getting physical, jamming him, trying to rough him up. Nothing seems to work, and I'm sure by this time, Bell's seen about every gimmick in the book and still manages to get his catches and his yards. So what fun it is to watch him play, isn't it?
And he even caught that fourth down pass near the end zone that Purdue probably should have kicked to go up by 3 scores instead of – I mean, that he had no business catching. No business catching that ball. As you said, he got bodied up right at the line there and got bumped off the route. Purdue was trying to do a little screen play, and it just didn't work, and he still caught the ball. I mean, it's like, what? How did he catch that thing? Weird.
Yeah. Hey, real quick shout out to DeMarcus Mitchell as well defensively. I thought he was the MVP on that side of the ball. 2 games in, tell me you're not impressed by number 15 and what he's brought to that defense. Pretty instinctive player, aggressive player, exciting player, and aggressive player.
Yeah, and he's brought a little bit of swagger, tone, and whatever else, moxie, whatever you want to call it, out there to that defense too, which has been good to see. All right, Tom, thank you. We'll look for more at goldenblack.com as you get some updates on Purdue headed in this week against, well, at least we hope, against Wisconsin.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's come back with more. We'll bring in Brian. We'll talk a little bit about Trey Kaufman. We might hit on Boilermaker football team as well. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler a compliment, a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcompliment, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Homefield Apparel. Homefield makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Be sure to check it out today.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit of Purdue sports. It's nice to actually have sports to talk about, Brian, because, man, it was a busy weekend with the football game, of course, coming right on top of Trey Kaufman's commitment on Friday as well. Man, we had gone seemingly months without being able to talk actual sports, so it's nice to be able to get a game and then a commitment to and a gigantic commitment as that as Matt Painter has a couple of good ones here committed for this class.
Yeah, this is a big time front court that Matt Painter's got lined up for 2021, and two guys I think who will both be really good college players. Two guys I think who can complement each other very well, who can bring some sort of a really unique blend of skill and versatility and interchangeability and all of that stuff to produce front court to go along with the really nice young core of guards Purdue has in the program right now, Brandon Newman, Jaden Ivey, Ethan Morton, et cetera. And Purdue's building a really nice roster here. And next year is starting to line up to, you know, potentially be a pretty good year. You're going to have Travion Williams and Eric Hunter presumably back as seniors, among others. Jaden Ivey, Ethan Morton, Brandon Newman, Mason Gillis. Those guys are good young players who are going to have some experience in the program. Zach Edey's come along really well from what we can tell so far here, his freshman season. Now you bring in two borderline McDonald's All-America level forwards who can play a couple different positions and are both going to be pretty mature kids and, you know, probably able to handle the rigors of college basketball pretty well. I think things are obviously looking up for Purdue here. Trey Kaufman's really good, and Caleb Furst is really good. And obviously a really big development on Friday in getting Trey Kaufman.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about Kaufman. I mean, he's a four. He can play a little bit of three. Is that accurate? And is his game continuing to develop sort of in that fashion?
Well, his best matchups are going to come at the four because he's got good size to him. He's got good inside-outside game to him. I think, you know, he will have real advantages over fours at the next level. But this summer he really showed he got much bigger. He got much more explosive. He got much quicker. He really had a great pandemic. he really worked hard, obviously, when, you know, things shut down and looked like a different dude physically. And I think that is part of what sold Purdue on the possibility that he can come in and play some three. That nowadays in college basketball, that's another guard. So that tells you what you're dealing with. But I think it's feasible, and I think Purdue's going to give it a shot. I think they're going to give Caleb Furst every chance to play the four. He's going to move inside to the five at times where his best matchups will clearly lie. Trey Kaufman then would move over to the four where I think his best matchups would clearly lie. But this is very similar to the Caleb Swanigan, Vincent Edwards model from a few years ago where both of those guys were maybe better at the five and four respectively than they were at the four and three respectively. But Purdue still got its best five guys on the floor by doing this and still won a hell of a lot of games with those guys playing where they were playing. But Kaufman is a really good inside-outside player. He really shot the three well this summer, shot it with a lot of confidence. took people off the dribble with a lot of confidence, just looked like a different player than he was before. And before, he was really good. He was probably more of an interior player who could play on the perimeter. Now I think maybe he's a little bit more of a perimeter player who can play on the interior, if that makes any sense. But he's just a really good, well-rounded offensive player who can shoot from all levels, who can score around the basket, who can handle the ball a little bit, who can run the floor, and can just do a lot of things. Now, both of those guys are going to have to be able to defend their positions at the next level. If Caleb Furse is playing in the four, if he's playing the four, he's got to acclimate to guarding away from the basket against quicker people. Trey Kaufman's going to have to do the same thing because as a three, your guards a lot of the time. So there's going to be some stuff there where those guys have to adjust cleanly to the positions they're playing. But both of them are really good, and good players tend to figure it out.
Yeah. Not a bad thing to have front court guys who are capable of playing multiple positions. I sort of like that. It gives you some advantages and matchups. As you look beyond this year to next year, as you sort of ran down some of that roster that Purdue will have in 21-22, is that, and I know things can change between now and then, and, you know, players can develop differently, and maybe we learn good things and bad things about them once we start to see them, you know, in games. But as you sort of project it out, is this have the appearance of one of the deeper, more talented Purdue rosters that you've seen in the last couple decades?
Yeah, Purdue had a really deep team a couple years ago. Remember, they had so many good shooting guards, they couldn't even play them all a few years ago. Purdue's had so many good big men, they couldn't necessarily all be starters. So Purdue's had some really good, really deep teams. But as of right now, I think you're building a core that'll be very much on par with those teams we're talking about right now in terms of, you know, the A.J. Hammonds, Isaac Haas, Caleb Swanigan, Dakota Mathias, Vince Edwards, Ryan Klein, Carson Edwards teams. I think you're very much trending back toward that sort of depth and that sort of quality of roster top to bottom than, you know, the alternative. So Purdue's done a really good job in recruiting. They've done a really good job getting good players, but also good players who fit. I think you already have in this program right now a couple of built-in long-term really, really good role players, too, to go along with some of the real high-end sort of players that you are recruiting currently. And I just think everything from a roster perspective, from a talent perspective, from a complexion standpoint, from a personality perspective, are lining up to be a really good Purdue team here in the next few years.
Yeah, Kaufman, from a, you know, just from afar, from a personality point of view, seems like a good fit, right? I mean, I liked his sort of commitment video and, you know, how that played out and, you know, obviously the things that he said as well, but it seems like he's the right kind of guy.
Yeah. And so is Caleb Furse. I mean, they're both smart, grounded, hardworking, but also competitive sorts of players. And, you know, that's what this program's been built on. And when you find that combination in guys who are, you know, as I said before, borderline McDonald's All-America level talents, that's a pretty damn good combination. And, you know, that's what Purdue's won with. You know, Purdue's really good about team building. They're really obviously into team chemistry, all of that stuff, work ethic, blue collar, whatever buzzword you want to use about things. And both Trey Kaufman and Caleb Furse are cut from that exact same cloth. They're both real grounded, intelligent people who are going to, you know, not really bring a whole lot of baggage, not going to bring any baggage to Purdue. There's not going to be any attitudinal issues. There's not going to be any work ethic issues.
Yeah.
These two guys are probably as close to as sure things as you can get from the perspective of, it's not just about how high your ceiling is, but how high your floor is. And both of these guys are going to have really high floors too, because they're going to be pretty dependable people on top of pretty pretty impressive talent.
Right. Got a couple of minutes here on the podcast, Brian. Let's talk a little bit of football. Purdue has won two games this season. I think it's pretty fair to say they have not played their A games in either one of those Saturdays. Are you the type that would take that and take that sort of as a positive, that it has won some games here, and there's still the idea that Purdue could be better than what it has shown here these first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, especially under the circumstances of this season, you take every win you can get, and you love the hell out of it. And and all that stuff because you don't even know how many more of them you're going to get. I think Purdue has been good. I don't think they've necessarily been great, but I don't think we necessarily should have expected them to be great. You know, there's a lot of youth to this team, a lot of, you know, I'm sure the results in the field have been guided somewhat by everything that transpired in the offseason too. But, you know, Purdue obviously has threshold to get better. I thought they were really good on defense in the first game. I thought they lapsed a little bit in the second game. I thought they needed to be better against the run. They needed to not let a bad Illinois offense with a four-string quarterback, you know, gain the sort of yardage that it gained. I know that points and yards are two different things. I know you're into bending but not breaking, but you'd also like to not bend quite as much as they did against Illinois. Give Purdue's defense a lot of credit because they did make the big plays when they needed to make them. They made the four red zone stops out of seven tries. They made the two really, really important turnovers deep in Illinois territory, all of that stuff. And they did it mostly without George Karloftis, who carries a lot of gravity in that defense. But you would like to have seen them, you know, be a little bit better against an offense that really had a lot working against it from a personnel perspective. But there is threshold to get better. Purdue was much better defensively against Iowa. So somewhere in the middle, the truth probably lies between Iowa and Illinois. And if you can get to that place consistently, I think you're good enough. And I think the offense is pretty close to being fine. The turnovers, you know, are something you'd like to cut down. But Purdue really only turned it over once against Illinois because the first fumble on Horvath shouldn't have counted. The second turnover on downs, you know, was a situation where Purdue, if they had to do it all over again, I'm sure they would have kicked. You very easily could have scored 50 points at Illinois this weekend without a bad call and a fumble, without, you know, if you'd kicked the field goal or scored a touchdown there. I think that I think the offense is good enough. I think the defense has, you know, an opportunity to get better, obviously.
Yeah. All right, man. Out of time. Thank you.
God, that was a long, rambling answer.
Hey, your Jets scored too. That was good. Nice effort.
Awesome. Sort of.
Yeah, we are out of time, though, so I'll see you.
All right. Okay. Yep, bye.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217. You can email me also at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Well, one way or the other, it should be another big week. We'll find out a little bit later whether Purdue will, in fact, play against Wisconsin on Saturday. If it does, of course, we'll have the pregame show, which will drop late morning on Friday. Be sure to check that out, however it is you listen to these podcasts. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, for Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert. I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.